Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Chucky's back with you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, they are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Wednesday morning, February 26, 2020. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cakes Allville.
Happy Game Show Wednesday to all.
Jason Bishop's here as well.
Yeah,
very running tired. Running the three-man show. I believe EB visiting his son in Poughkeepsie.
That's right.
For a lacrosse match.
Mm-hmm. Jason told me he's super tired because he stayed up late for the Democratic debate last night.
Yep, and he watched
all the post-game pressers and all the breakdowns.
It was very interesting.
He's just very tired from that.
It's just very interesting. Politics is so interesting to me. Can't miss it.
It's the most interesting.
And my weekend is full because Saturday, Bernie Sanders comes to Loudoun County. So I'll go to that political rally.
Are you doing a bit? Is he actually coming?
That's going to be an all-day. Oh, he's coming. All day fair.
Because Super Tuesday is next week.
Yes.
And Virginia is one of the states.
Ah, okay.
Yep. I don't miss political rallies.
That's correct. You better hurry home from Florida so you can cast your vote.
Oh, yeah.
Because we'll be coming back from Nat spring training.
Oh, yeah. I'll be home before the polls close.
I hope you do your American civic duty.
Yep, absolutely. I can't wait. I'm very excited about it.
I know. I can tell that you are.
But, you know, the Caps got a big win last night.
Well,
I'm just saying. I know it was a sweater.
I'm very happy that they got the win. But the way that game was going initially, I thought it was going to be just a laugher.
Like a
5-1 final for the Caps. Wouldn't have to sweat it at all.
Yep.
We had to sweat overtime and a shootout to get the result.
Correct.
Last night.
Yeah, but OV bookended goals. Started the game early with a goal.
Get 7-0-1.
But you're right, they were up 2-0.
They're up 3-0.
It was 3-0.
Then 3-0.
Yeah, I mean,
still doesn't make you feel good when you blow a 3-0 lead.
No. I was just preparing for the gloom and doom if somehow the Jets were able to score in overtime or win the shootout.
Yeah.
I mean, that would have been just a... It would have been a terrible loss.
Well, that would have been maybe their worst loss of the year.
It would have,
considering everything that's going on.
It would have been in the top three.
Yes.
Top three worst losses of the season.
Correct.
When you scream out to a lead like that and then you can't finish off the opponent.
I mean, you're celebrating Ovi's 700th.
Which was great. I hope that you did take some time and watch a little bit of that.
I watched a little bit. I saw, you know, Gretzky and Phil
the videos
Esposito
were great.
And all those guys.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And he was holding his kid. But you're right. I mean, if they would have blown a 3-0 lead at home after all that, I would have said, you know what? I'm out.
It would have been borderline soul-crushing had they lost that game last night.
Yeah, but they didn't.
They prevailed in the shootout, so all is good, I guess.
JP, they got the 2 points.
Yeah, it's weird the way that they do the points in the NHL. We've been saying it for years. You don't even like to give the overtime loss the point. Consider that just a straight-up loss. But in some ways, the win is like an asterisk win. It's a tie. And then they have a gimmicky system.
Yeah, it's a little gimmicky.
Overtime's gimmicky. But the shootout is totally gimmicky.
But I love the overtime format. I love the 3-on-3, the wide open ice. I think it's It's a much more fair way to settle it than a shootout.
I don't mind. Right. I agree with that. But the point is, you're not playing good hockey when you're having ties.
True.
That's a game, 100%. Particularly because of the start, they should have won 5-2.
Yeah.
They should have won going away.
They should have blown the Jets right out of that building is what should have happened. But they didn't. They let them back in. They gave them life.
Now they got a 4-point lead in the division over Pittsburgh. Now Pittsburgh has played two less games. Pittsburgh's going to play out on the coast, I believe, tonight against the LA Kings, who are terrible.
Right, they're garbage.
But, you know, the Pens have lost three straight. It's not like they're lighting up anything. So, but that'll be a big game for Pittsburgh. But big game for the Caps. At least they got the win, even though it didn't look good there in the last 20 minutes or so.
I would think Caps fans, and if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067 is the number, would be cautiously optimistic. Because you look at the standings, and you're in a great spot.
Mm-hmm.
You've made a couple of deals, one to shore up the defense, and the other one to add to the third line. Kovalchuk, I think, the third line created a bunch of chances. Kovalchuk didn't score. He almost scored. So that's a positive. But if you just look at the last couple of months overall, they've played mediocre hockey. And I would say last night was mediocre. Now, they did beat the Pens on Sunday, and that is an overtime or shootout win last night. Just... it's not like they're rolling like they were early in the season.
Correct.
But you still have time.
They're far from rolling.
You have time. You know, like, if they got to roll the last seven games of the season heading into the playoffs, you'd be butt-sized.
Well, if you're being positive, they have time. But this might be the team that we see in the playoffs.
Yeah, it is the team.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it is
I'm just talking about the way they play.
Oh.
Very consistent. You know, they're going to lose some bad games. You know, they're going to be sloppy. They're going to turn the puck over. They're, you know, hope is just going to be okay.
Well, the next six games.
I'm not sure they're just going to turn it on and look like they did in December.
Five of the next six on the road for this team. They have to take on Winnipeg again Thursday night. Then they're at Minnesota. They're home for one game against Philly. Then they're back on the road against Metro Division rivals, the Rangers and the Pens back-to-back there. And then they go to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. So you're going to find out a lot about this team in the next six games.
Yeah.
See where they're at. Hopefully they continue their very good road play. For whatever reason, they've been really good on the road this year. Hopefully they keep that up.
But this is hockey. I mean, remember how hot Boston and Tampa were?
Mm-hmm.
And we were saying, Tampa had won like 11 straight.
Right.
Well, now they've lost three straight. Right. Boston lost to a bad team last night, mm-hmm. Calgary. You know, we've seen the struggles with the Caps. Pens have lost three straight. It's just hockey.
Yep. They're ebbs and flows to the season.
This is the way hockey is, man.
Not always. You're not going to be on a heater to score 110, 115 points throughout the season.
Right.
For the most part, it's not going to happen.
Mm-mm. So I guess, you know, the optimist in me says just be happy with the 2 points. It doesn't matter really how you got it.
Ultimately, that's the way I look at it, too. But that loss, if it had happened that way, would have been especially galling. To a Jets team that was kind of limping in there. I think they're on the fourth game of a four-game road trip. They just want to get back to Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who wants to go to Winnipeg? I guess if you live there, you want to go there. But that was a team that you have to take advantage of. And they ultimately did, but it took a lot of different, you know, twists and turns to get there.
So now they go to Winnipeg, what's that, tomorrow?
Tomorrow night, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, so they're fine.
Your boy Verana scored early, too.
Well, I mean, I discovered him.
And... well, he's one of the top five fastest players in the league. Yeah. I mean, all he did is got the puck, and then he just jetted down the ice and outskated two Winnipeg donks and put it past their goalie.
Yes, he's the Henry Ruggs of the NHL.
Yes, apparently he is.
That's what he is. So.
That's the wide receiver from Alabama?
Yes, it is. So it's
Oh, and by the way.
And I'm glad that he scored.
Braden Holtby with a brilliant glove save in the shootout. I can't remember who he robbed. But, I mean, he just stoned a guy, just had it in his glove. I thought it was for sure a goal.
Yeah. I watched the, you know, I was going back and forth with the Democratic debate.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. How'd you watch that while you were at George Mason? No, watching OB Toppin?
I didn't go to Mason. I sent a text to Zach Bolno, the SID over there, saying thank you very much. But
yes.
The other guys I work with are girls, and they do not want to drive all the way out to see OB Toppin play.
Hey, don't put that on us.
Yeah, the true girl would be the one that needs backup to go to the game.
The last time I checked, I did not.
I didn't want to go by myself.
I didn't get a formal invite to the game from Zach. So.
Oh, no, no, he just sent me the text. He invited all four of us.
Okay.
But I couldn't pull any of my buddies to go. And I asked my wife if she wanted to go. She was like, eh. I said, all right, well, I'll text Zach and tell him we can't make it. Anyway, but I was watched the first period of the Caps, and then I watched some of the Mason-Dayton game, and then I went.
Did you tell Zach to take George Mason plus the 12 or the 13?
Well, I asked him, I said, can you guys shock the world tonight? He goes, why not? And they put a little scare into Dayton.
They definitely covered.
Who hadn't lost a conference game.
Right.
Obi Toppin at 19. He threw down a ridiculous monster alley-oop dunk. Mm-hmm. He must have been up 50 inches. I mean, he is just a sick athlete.
Isn't it cool how the top NBA guys all have pretty cool names? Now, Obi Toppin's not in the NBA, but he will be. Because Zion's a great name.
Ja.
LeBron. Ja.
Yeah.
Obi. There's not many. I know that Tim Duncan was in there, but there's not many Tims or Johns.
Yeah, guys with boring names.
But Anthony Davis is kind of boring.
Yeah, that's true.
But you're right. Some of them were pretty cool. But no, it was Terps play tonight. I will see exactly zero of it because it's a 9 o'clock tip.
Terps play tonight. Kinda late. Yeah, Wizards back in action tonight.
Wizards playing the Nets tonight. Cakesy. Oh.
Two bad teams getting together.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of points to be scored. Right. That's a Capital One, correct? That's a home game.
That is a home game. Absolutely. But yeah, you're right. They'll probably lose that game.
So they're going to lose to the Nets without Kyrie? Why not? They very well could.
Why not? They lose to everybody else.
Sure.
They lose to every other bad team.
I wouldn't be shocked if that happened.
I wouldn't be either.
I'm just bitter I still haven't watched Homeland yet.
Yeah, what are you doing?
It's Wednesday. It's just tough to squeeze in. You know what? I can't watch Homeland with the toddler running around.
Right. Yeah.
It's just not appropriate.
Yeah. You know why? Because especially with Homeland, you really can't focus. And you have to really drill down and focus on Homeland because so many people have accents. I mean, you got to deal with Yevgeny. You got to deal with
the Taliban.
The Taliban, Dal Kakani.
Yep.
You got to deal with the opposition leader. Is his name Gumal or something? Whatever.
Something like that.
He has one of the weirdest voices ever.
Right.
So you have to physically sit there and watch and listen. You can't be
right. And the
running
plot
around
lines,
chasing a toddler.
And the plot lines are sometimes tough because I don't really remember the guy from season number 4.
Right.
I remember his face, but then I'm like, I don't really remember what was going on there, what his relationship with Saul was.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's a lot of callbacks.
I haven't gotten around to it, man.
Yeah.
I had a little window of time to watch TV. So my wife on Tuesday nights teaches a bunch of classes, I think 4.
Mm-hmm.
So she's out basically all day and all night. And I watched a little, like I can plunk the toddler in front of, I plunk her in front of the computer and put on some like kids material for her to watch. And I can watch the TV. But
computer's babysitter.
Early Caps.
Right.
I watched Early Caps. And then,
Early Caps were great.
Early Caps is great.
Early Caps is fantastic.
That's what they need.
Middle to late Caps, not so bueno.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, you're clenching. Your backside is clenching watching them fritter away a lead.
I would love 6 o'clock Caps.
Oh,
that would be great.
No. The best Caps are noon Sunday Caps.
Weekend. Yeah,
but
yeah,
I'm with you. If you could get 6 p.m. puck drop. 7 p.m. is not bad because usually the games are over by 9:20, 9:30-ish. Last night, I think, went to about 9:45 because of the shootout and the overtime. By the way, the ice last night at Capital One, very choppy. Ice in bad shape.
What are they doing?
Dudes are falling all over the place. Alan May was talking about it, and we'll have him on later. It was just
just a bad night for the...
maybe it's just the warm temps tend to affect the ice.
All right, I'll go with that.
And dudes are just tripping all over the place.
I'll go with that.
All right, you mentioned Alan May. He will join us today at 8:20. We will talk to the Caps analyst about the Caps additions and their recent run. 8:20 for Alan May. Charlie Casserly is going to join us at 7:20, former Redskins Texas GM,
we'll
now
talk
with NFL
some draft
Network.
With Charlie C.
We'll talk some draft. I know he is super high on your boy Chase Young.
I know, he loves him.
Kind of throwing out there that Chase Young could go number one overall.
Nope,
and
not going to happen.
J.P. Finley, who covers the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington, who will join us at 9. So we're packed here on a game show Wednesday. We're the Junkies, coming right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. If you want to check us out on TV, EB's out today following his son.
What's new?
Playing lacrosse for Marist.
He's already taken 72 vacation days.
Yeah, but he's spreading his out. He's not taking them a week at a time at this point.
Yeah, that's true.
He'll be back tomorrow. Anyway, yesterday he started the show with his panic about the coronavirus and be honest, I kind of poo-pooed it. I think Jason did too. I don't think John's
I wasn't that scared. Affected by it.
But there was one story which jumped out at me yesterday, and it was about the Harvard University epidemiologist.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure what an epidemiologist is, but it seems like they're from Harvard, and they've got a fancy title at some form of a doctor, and they would seem to know something about it. And he's predicting that the coronavirus will ultimately be not containable and will infect somewhere between 40 and 70% of humanity.
I saw the interview with that guy.
Epidemiology, the branch of medicine that deals with the incidence, distribution, and possible control of diseases and other factors relating to health.
I think that person said that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Which is what Eric was saying yesterday.
I think that was the quote.
Did you feel like he was a kook? Or did you feel
like
he was
reasonable? I don't know. He might be just an alarmist. I have no idea. I can't worry about it. Like I said yesterday, I can't worry about it until Entercom says, don't come to work
right,
because everyone in the building has it.
Yeah.
I can't worry about it.
Yeah, unless this is like a quarantine hot zone that we can't
drive
to.
Unless I get an email from Briarwoods High School saying, keep your kid at school because we're worried about the spread of corona in the school. I can't worry about it. I can't. I got other stuff on my mind.
Sure. Like taxes.
I'm going to get so...
It's almost tax time.
I'm going to get bung jobbed in taxes. Worst I've ever
gotten. Sorry, I didn't mean to bring up a sore spot for you.
Yeah, I'm waiting until the last possible second to file.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got other stuff on my mind. I can't worry about it.
I mean, 14 people in the U.S. have been infected, and they've all had either been to China recently or close contact with someone who had.
Right.
So it's not like it's spreading like wildfire here. I mean, it's already been here. Right, it's already here. We've got 14 people with corona.
I mean, the weird part about it is my son is in the Canary Islands, which are 4 hours south of Spain, off the coast of Africa. You would think super isolated. Coronavirus isn't going to show up there. Oh, really? When an infected Italian doctor flies there and checks into a hotel and starts coughing like you, and that comes down with the coronavirus, and everybody in the hotel is quarantined. Hello, it's shown up in the Canary Islands, somewhere you wouldn't expect it to be. Like, how would it get there? Oh, somebody who's infected goes there, spreads it.
Huh.
Now, hopefully, it's contained.
Did you see the video?
How big
of
is the Canary Islands? Like, what's the population? What's the size?
How would I know?
You might have looked it up.
I've looked it up and I've seen pictures. It's beautiful, but I don't know the stats about it. I don't know the population. I would guess the population of all of the Canary Islands is 500,000 or less.
Right.
It might be way less.
Now you're going to Spain
probably
next
way
month?
Less than that.
Going to Spain in April.
Okay, 2 months.
As long as the coronavirus hasn't
spread.
But you're
not going to the Canary Islands. You said you're going. No. I didn't even know the city.
The travel is too difficult.
What
for
is
the
city
span
that
of
you're
time?
Visiting
Southern Spain, Malaga.
I've been there.
You've been there?
Yeah, I went there for my honeymoon. Remember?
How did you like it? I didn't know you went to the south of Spain.
You didn't go to Barcelona.
No, we
flew. Madrid.
Yeah, I went to Madrid. Flew into Madrid, and then we went south. Took the train south. Went to I think it's Malaga. I think it's pronounced
you
Malaga.
You could be right. I'm sure you're right.
We went to some small towns.
What I remember about you telling me everybody about Spain was that everybody smoked.
Like, oh, yeah.
You said everybody was, it was a bunch of, a nation of ROMs.
Well, it was, everyone smoked, and bars and restaurants didn't open until 11 o'clock at night.
Right. It's a way different schedule, yeah, way different way,
I
mean, of life.
I had no idea what to
do.
Well,
yeah, and also businesses often close lunchtime.
Yeah, but
so
their
like
lunches?
Shop owners sometimes?
Yeah.
But their lunches
shut
are like 4 hours.
Like 12 to 2, right.
Yeah, yes. Their lunch is 4 hours. People just go off and smoke for 4 hours.
So how am I going to deal with like a 5 p.m. dinner? I don't think that's going to fly very well when I'm over in Spain.
Zippy 5 p.m.
That's
going to
be like lunchtime.
It's probably a lot different now. More Americanized.
All right, these are the towns I went to. I went to, flew into Madrid. I went to Sevilla. Mm-hmm. I went to Malaga. I went to Cordoba. And there was one other I went to. But again, it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
I mean, I can't remember.
And the reason you chose that was because at the time,
Span Air, yeah,
we had a sponsor, Span Air, and so you got it hooked.
I mean, We've been doing radio so long that airlines just come and go, like Span Air. I remember we did business with, I think it was Independence Air that was based out of like Dulles. That went belly up. Well, we were just outlasting multiple airlines during this run.
We've taken down a lot of businesses, too.
Apparently we have, yes. Golf USA.
Know. When Eric was talking about it, you know, he panics about everything. So I couldn't really take it seriously. But when there's something about Harvard, when you throw Harvard in there, if the epidemiologist was from Rutgers,
yeah,
I've just been like, whatever.
Well, also when the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, comes out and says, yeah, there's basically going to be a pandemic, and it's going to happen at some point. It's going to spread through communities here in the United States. It catches your attention.
Yeah, but I'm sure there's some epidemiologists from Yale or Cornell who probably said, no, it's not going to be a big deal.
Maybe.
It's not like they're all on the same page. I've heard, you know, seen interviews with guys saying it's not going to be as big a deal as people think.
Right.
If everybody,
although the IOC is thinking about canceling.
I did see that.
Not postponing, not moving it to next year, canceling the Olympics.
They said, you have a few months to figure out what's going on with the virus, and if it's not cleaned up, the Olympics are finished.
Can you imagine if you're a swimmer and you've been training for years for the Olympics,
that
you're
terrible.
One shot, and they just cancel it? I mean, that would be, I don't think they're going
right, because people have the sniffles and have a cough.
What were you going to say, Drabby?
Well, I don't really understand that, because hasn't everyone said as soon as it warms up in 1 month, it's going to wipe this thing out?
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
So I mean, I'll be honest, I heard that on yesterday's show in this think tank. I haven't
heard that.
I haven't listened that much outside of what we've talked about here.
I don't know.
Why is that virus thriving in some places that are warm?
Like, it's not warm. It's not in Africa and in South America at all.
But I would imagine some of those cruise ships are in warm areas.
I don't know.
Yeah, but the people getting them, maybe the people who got on to those cruise ships were in cold weather cities before that actually started to spread.
Right, they're probably a bunch of like pale Euros that got on the boat in like Belgium, where it's probably butt cold. Then they sailed out in the middle of the sea near Japan. I'm just making that up. How would I know where they boarded from?
I'm with you.
You don't see a lot of guys with the flu in June.
No. Usually it does not survive.
It's a good point.
It doesn't survive the warm months. Usually. But, you know, I didn't go to med school.
I went to Arizona State. So.
Yeah.
Maybe this Harvard guy is a kook.
I don't know. But I do side with you in that you do lend more credence to it, because he went to Harvard, or he's aligned with Harvard.
Yeah.
And he's not a Sun Devil. I mean, if he was a Sun Devil, you just kind of scoff at him.
Yeah.
I mean, he went to Arizona State.
If it said Florida State epidemiologist,
right.
I mean, I'm sure that's a fine university. It might actually be tough to get into. I don't know what the standards are for Florida State.
I don't think it's tough to get into.
Okay, but if it said Florida State epidemiologist,
right.
But something about Harvard.
Yeah. If you say Johns Hopkins epidemiologist, you're like, that carries some weight. But if you say Clemson epidemiologist, okay. I'm sorry, I think of Clemson more for sending defensive linemen to the NFL.
Clemson ain't easy to get into either, bro.
I don't think it's easy, but Johns Hopkins is harder.
When teams win national championships, everyone wants to go there.
I can agree with that.
I don't know. I'm trying to find, you know, some medical expert that says it's not going to be a big deal. I'll find it. I saw some interviews. I'll find at least one.
I'm sure you will.
Look, this epidemiologist, his whole theory is because the symptoms aren't as strong as some of the others, like SARS. Remember, SARS was supposed to be a big thing.
Right.
That that's why it'll spread more. That those things were more aggressive, and so you knew about it, was maybe easier to contain. Here, apparently you can have it, just walk around a couple weeks, you don't even know what the hell's going on, and you're passing it to everybody else. And that's the way it spreads. I don't know. Do you know any clowns from Harvard? I was just thinking that off the top of my head. Like, just, they went to Harvard, but they're a complete clown.
I don't know anybody that went to Harvard. What are you talking about?
I'm not saying personally. I'm talking like celebrities.
I know one guy who went to Harvard. He's not a clown.
No, they tend to be silly.
Yeah. Okay, but you don't know anybody who went to Harvard?
Well, I know a lot of politicians that went to Harvard.
Yeah, they're probably clowns.
I mean, I don't know them personally.
Politicians are clowns in my book. Okay.
I generally agree with you.
They're accomplished.
All right, yes, they are accomplished. Let's go to Scott in Woodbridge. I want to know if anybody else is panicking like Bickle.
Nobody's. I don't think anybody's on his panic level.
But he's been panicking before this with the stupid wipes everywhere.
What's up, Scott? You're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Hey, boys. Good morning. How are you?
What's up?
What's up?
Hey, I lived in Spain for 10 years. Mm-hmm. That is the greatest country on the planet. I mean, if my station in life was different right now, I would sell everything I own and move there and retire and just eat and drink everything in sight and wind up weighing 500 pounds. It is. I've been through Lurch, where those cities that you mentioned, like Malaga and Cordoba and places like that in southern Spain and Sevilla, been through all that, done all that, and it's just the absolute most wonderful place on the planet.
No, I had fun.
Out there in the Canary.
Yeah, I had fun. It was great. I mean, some of those towns are great. There's small towns we went to, but I like Ashburn, Virginia. That's where I
That's
where I like to
visit. And you guys were just talking, when I was on hold there, you were talking about Harvard and stuff. I just recently had a triple hernia surgery fixed, like about less than a month ago. Mm-hmm. And the guy that cut me open and worked on me was a Harvard medical grad. So hopefully he did a good job.
Yeah, of course he did.
Yeah.
All right, hold on, Scott. Are you worried about the corona? Are you worried about that at all? You panicking?
I am vigilant. And like you said, you know, people say I've got my head on a swivel. But right now I'm not. I'm vigilant and I'm aware. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
All right. Well, what good is your head on a swivel going to do? I mean,
if you're looking out for it, man.
If you're looking for a bad guy somewhere, like you're in a bad guy. No, but being aware of the ski mask,
I think he's
head
just
on a swivel.
Figure of speech, probably a figure.
When I say aware, I mean I'm aware of the news and the information that pops up about local cases and stuff like that, and you know that sort of thing.
Yeah, he's aware.
And doing.
That's all.
And doing what I need to do for personal sanitation, health, you know, washing your hands and coughing into my sleeve and you know, staying away from people and doing what the medical professionals recommend.
Yeah, staying away from people is the key. Thank you, Scott. It just gives me more of an excuse to be a hermit for the most part, to avoid human contact as much as possible.
Right.
That's what I'm aiming for.
All right. Hey, let's go to Josh in Rockville.
Josh, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks. Good morning.
How you doing, Junks? Hey, my dad is actually in charge of a large hospital in Pittsburgh. He manages all the nurses and sort of intake procedures there. I talked to him about this last night. He said people are still kind of exaggerating this coronavirus. He said the flu is still killing a lot more people globally. However, he said it could jump to a 15% mortality rate if it sort of morphs into this larger type of flu that's the same thing that happened with the Spanish influenza in like 1918 or 1920, and that killed like 100 million people worldwide. So he said it could get much worse, but right now everyone's panicking.
Yeah, but they didn't have NyQuil in 1918.
They didn't have anything in 1918.
Right, exactly. I feel more confident about the modern medicine,
especially
in the United States.
Think about walking around in 1918. You don't even know what the concept of fantasy football is. Like you're just walking around,
you're
in the midst of World War One, and you just don't know that you're going to avoid Todd Gurley at all costs in 2020 fantasy drafts.
How boring!
You don't even know that that's a thing.
Boredom.
You're just.
I would have died early.
You're bored to death. Literally bored to death living in 1918.
Well, everything that we have in life that is advantageous. My dad grew up in northern Italy in a town of 100 people. Mm. He was born in 1929.
Was he related to all of them?
In 1980, when I visited when I was 10 years old, there were still people going to the town square using the fountain from the water that would come down to wash clothes, not washing machines.
Yeah, I mean, that's very old school.
Think about you. If you didn't have a washing machine and had to wash clothes by hand,
had to bring
like a town square and find some sort of soap.
I just can't imagine.
1918.
It's primitive.
1918, you've got no phones. Forget about fantasy football.
You got nothing.
You may not have.
1918.
Did they have, I guess they had electricity. They did have electricity.
By 1918? When did
I know this? You didn't have a silly HDTV.
You didn't have a TV, let alone the HD part.
Yeah. You didn't have a car.
You barely had radio in 1918. Did you have radio in 1918? Who were the version of the Junks in 1918?
But you know what? You had Babe Ruth.
I mean, it's baseball.
Oh, right. I know.
No NFL.
But how would you know about him? You weren't watching him on TV.
No, you'd have to go take a train there.
Did you even have the original six in the NHL in 1919? I don't think so. I think it predates the original six. That's how long ago that was.
All right, let's go to PJ in Reston. Yeah, that's the question to the listeners there. Are you panicking about the corona?
PJ, what's up?
Hey, guys. I wanted to just say something really interesting. Now, this is going to be out of
left field. Let us judge whether it's interesting.
Go ahead.
I have a strong suspicion you're going to think it's interesting. Now, let me say, I want to start with this. The world is not ending at all. We're going to keep going on for decades and centuries, hopefully, as long as we take care of the climate. I want you guys to Google. There's a Portuguese mystic called Baba Vanga. She predicted this coronavirus thing 25 years ago. You can look it up in Google. Now, she says
sure,
the world may
Google
end.
A Portuguese mystic.
Yeah, it's spelled like this, B-A-B-A, last name V-A-N-G-A. She predicted Barack Obama, 1980, being the 44th president. She predicted Donald Trump being the 45th president.
I don't know one of the Washington mystics outside of Deladon.
It's very fascinating. Now, the world is not going to end. Her point is that like there's going to be a lot of suffering, but we're going to kind of overcome it. But there are some mystics through history that we just don't know a lot about. And it's very powerful stuff. It has to do with the sixth sense. The thing she said about the two presidents and the coronavirus, it's so specific, it's really hard to kind of deny her.
All right, PJ, I'm sorry.
PJ, this says
you're
that
talking
she...
About, you're talking about people predicting the future? I mean, come on.
PJ is the sort of guy who drives down the highway and pulls off when he sees tarot card reading or palms read in somebody's window.
What did Baba Booey?
Baba Booey said the 44th president would be African American.
Okay,
in 1980.
Right.
She also said aliens would take over the planet in 2010.
Okay. All right.
Right.
Thank you. I am not interested in what PJ said.
No.
All right. Last call. Kevin Glendale. What's up?
Kevin, what's up, man? You're all the
Jumps. I lost my lover. Hey. I'm pretty sure PJ did not go to Harvard.
Good call.
Yes, good call by you.
Hey, look, we're on a planet of, 8 billion people? We've got 80,000 people with this coronavirus. The news, much like when you get half an inch of snow around here, has a vested interest in getting people to tune in and click. For instance, I saw a headline this morning, one U.S. soldier tests positive for coronavirus. One person getting sick now is a headline because they have people hooked. I'm not worried about it. I hope that this doesn't turn into something awful, but how many people get the flu every year? It dwarfs this. Mm-hmm. It's nothing more than to keep people tuned in, clicking, and selling advertising dollars. Come on, folks, wake up.
You're right.
I tend to agree with you.
Hey, just beware because Baba Vanga, the Portuguese mystic, says
I'm going to put a web page
Mars in 3005.
That guy just discovered Google yesterday and hasn't figured out yet that I can put a web page together that says whatever I want. Is what it is. I'm not panicking.
Right. Thanks, Kevin.
Going to work.
What was the 3005 prediction? I missed it.
There's going to be a war on Mars. And we're going to be living underwater by 2130.
I'm sure I'm going to care about a war on Mars in the year 3005.
Right. Can't worry about that.
Why would I care about a war on Mars ever?
Oh, boy. Well, someone's pointing out Rob Manfred is a clown. He did go to Harvard Law
School. Yeah, he is a clown.
There you go.
That is certified. That's
but accomplished.
One. That's your one. Very accomplished. Yeah. Very rich.
All right, rich. Phone number you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. We got Charlie Cashley, former Redskins GM, NFL Network, and NBC Sports Washington NFL analyst, will join us coming up at 7:20 as we talk Combine and more here on The Junkies.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked. High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
All right, so there was three reasons that I was bitter yesterday, all financially motivated or centered.
Okay, yes.
One, we already talked about it, was the stock market losing 6% in the last 2 days.
It's pretty big.
All right, now, if you're not into the stock market, you don't invest in the 401ks and all that stuff in retirement, and you're too young to worry about it, I get it. But when you're almost 50, you think about it. Now, JP doesn't think about it.
No, he just scoffs at it.
JP doesn't understand why we even think about the 401k.
I think about it every once in a while, but on a day-to-day basis, no.
I'm just different than you. Anyway, so that, and I just knew exactly what the dollar amount was that Cakes and I lost, and I was not happy. And Cakes wasn't happy either. All right, so number two was I was thinking about my taxes. And my taxes, I'm going to just get hammered because there's a lot of different reasons. But
yeah.
I usually get money back, but I'm going to owe the government a lot of money, and I'm just bitter about
that
it.
That pains you to actually pay.
Yeah, and the third thing was I had Duke in three moneyline parlays.
Okay.
And Duke was a 12-point favorite, 11-point favorite. They were -750 on the money line. Oof. All right, you do the math on that. And I put them in. I said, yeah, well, they're going to beat Wake Forest. Wake Forest is a bad team. Wake Forest coming into the game was 11-15, 4-12 in the conference, and beat Duke in double overtime. All right, and I had them wrapped up in three money line parlays.
Yeah, which destroyed every single one of them.
And I was just thinking to myself, well, that's just my luck. If I didn't bet Duke and I bet Wake Forest, well,
yeah,
Duke would have beat him by 25,
mm-hmm,
right? So I woke up, and I was thinking about the taxes. I was thinking about the stock market, and I was thinking about Duke losing at home, or excuse me, at Wake Forest,
yeah,
in double overtime. They allowed 113 points.
I mean, you should have played the over there. I mean, it's so many points.
Well, I did in another wager.
Yeah.
They sent Wake Forest to the free throw line 50 times, right? So three reasons why I woke up on the wrong side.
Yeah, it hurts.
Yep. It really did.
It's a bad day for you financially.
It was. It was not a good day yesterday.
Hey, I wanted to tweak you a little bit, Jason, because you're, and I generally actually agree with you, but you're a Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time, and you don't really consider the possibility that when it's all said and done, LeBron could be the GOAT and be the best. So last night, the Lakers had a game against the Pelicans. It was big because it's the first time Zion gets to face the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron goes for 40 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, or maybe it was 6 rebounds and 8 assists.
8 boards, 6 dimes.
They get the win. Lakers get the win. They may be heading towards NBA Finals again, which would be the 10th trip to the NBA Finals. If they make it, it's going to be tough in the West because the Clippers are really good.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Utah, Denver, some other teams which can knock them off, even Houston, mm-hmm, potentially. It's going to be tough in the Western Conference. But you could realistically see them in the finals.
Of course.
Not a stretch to say a team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis is going to be in the NBA Finals.
I think the Lakers and Bucks would be must-see TV if they were in the Finals.
Right. But I was just thinking about this because Zion, I believe, said that LeBron is underappreciated.
Mm.
And
why is that?
Initially, I would think I don't think he's underappreciated. People think he's the best player in the game.
Yeah.
Although, if you look at the MVPs the last several years, you've had Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Giannis. When's the last time LeBron was MVP? And he continues to do it. Like, you would think that he would decline. I thought he was in decline last year. Mm-hmm. Now, last year he was hurt, missed a bunch of games, had a groin injury. This year he's averaging he's going to lead the league in assists. So he's averaging 10.6 assists per game.
Yeah.
He's still scoring almost 26 points a game, and he's grabbing almost 8 boards per game. And nobody's really talking about him because Giannis and the Bucks have the best record. So it's likely that Giannis will win the MVP. LeBron could win the MVP, which would be his 5th. He's won the MVP 4 times.
Okay.
I'm starting to move towards the, you know what, when it's all said and done, you might have to give it to LeBron because – and he will play longer. Like, assuming LeBron plays another 4 years, he's going to tickle all-time leader in points. He's going to be up there in assists. He's going to be up there in all the categories beyond Michael Jordan. Now, the game's changed.
Yeah, correct.
And what Jordan will always have that LeBron will never have is Jordan can always have 6-0 in the finals.
Correct.
But what if LeBron takes his team, the Lakers, to the finals with the help of Anthony Davis? The finals 2 or 3 more times.
Mm-hmm.
What if he makes the NBA finals 12 times in his career? Wins,
okay.
Let's just say he's 4-8, wins 4 of them. Still, he made it to the finals that many times.
Yeah. Well, Jordan would have made it 8 times if his dad wasn't murdered.
That's a good point. That's a good counterpoint.
And by the way, he would have won 8-0.
No, he would. Speculative, you think he wouldn't have reached those finals?
You're acting like every one of those series. He had some tough series against the Knicks.
Of course.
He had some tough series. I don't just say fait accompli.
They actually played defense back in the 90s.
I don't say fait accompli. They would have.
I do.
Would they have been a favorite?
I do.
Okay.
All right, but that's just me. Look, LeBron's a great player. He's going to have a lot of people are going to consider him the greatest player.
In your mind, is he getting closer to Michael Jordan in terms of legacy?
Well, he's always going to be close, but in my opinion, I would say that I would have rather had Michael on my team than LeBron. That's just my opinion. You have a different opinion.
Yeah, you're never going to move him off.
No,
that
I would
opinion.
Still say Michael Jordan is the best because to me, he was an assassin, particularly at the end of games.
Correct.
And LeBron just recently hit a game winner, and he can do it from time to time, but it's not his main calling card. He's more of just kind of a well-rounded guy.
Right. Michael was not that. Michael was just, like you said, he was the assassin. He was a scorer. Now, he could, you know, he averaged some, had some decent years where he averaged some assists, but he was a scorer, and he just controlled games, and he was a great defensive player. And, look, I just enjoyed watching him play. LeBron's fantastic. He's a top 5 player ever, but in my opinion, Jordan is the guy. But that's my opinion. There are people listening to me going, "You're crazy, Bishop." That's just my opinion. You can't sway me. You know, it's just a sports debate that no one's ever going to win. But you like to bring it up.
Dug in on your side. He's on the LeBron side. You guys are just, you're never going to meet in the middle. It's just never going to happen.
This is one thing I definitely do. I don't think about it.
I know you don't think about it.
Right. I mean, I don't think about it.
You think
unless
about,
someone brings it up. I don't think about
you
it.
You think about paying 5 figures in taxes.
Well, no,
that's what you think about.
I don't want to think about that.
That's what is weighing on your
but
brain.
But when I saw that score last night, I said, well, first of all, I wanted to see what Zion did. And he had another big game. He had 29. I think he got to the free throw line 18 times.
He doesn't rebound as much as I would have thought.
Yeah, maybe that's coming. But I saw what LeBron did, and that's, you know, very impressive. At his age, in a game like that, where he's kind of taken over and he's still dropping 40. Like you said, he's going to lead the league in assists. You know, it's just an unbelievable career and unbelievable year. But I'm a Michael guy. Always
Look,
will be.
I bring it up just because I saw that Zion was praising LeBron and saying maybe he was even underappreciated. And initially I thought, how could he, a guy who we consider the best, be underappreciated? But maybe he is a little bit.
Yeah, maybe he brings up a good point. If All you right. give LeBron the MVP this year, I have no problem with it.
I don't know if he's underappreciated here, but maybe. He hasn't won an MVP in a long time. Alex Ovechkin scored last night, scored to open the game, scored in the shootout to win the game for the Capitals. We'll get into that with Alan May coming up at 8:20, Caps analyst for NBC Sports Washington. And remember, at 7:20, we've got Charlie Casserly to talk some NFL Combine, the NFL Draft, and more right here on the Junkies.
from executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked. High hopes. Streaming on Hulu.